Blog Talk Radio.
I know.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is December the 18th, 2019. We got about seven more days, and we'll be celebrating. Hallelujah, Christmas. We'll be celebrating that Christ must come. He had to come. And so he come for us, a dying world, and a world that needed to be saved. And I'm so glad today he drew me. And I'm so glad today I know him for myself. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. And I know he's good to me. I know he's alive and well, and he's got all power, and there's nothing too hard for him to do. And so that's good news. That's good news right there. And we just thank God this morning. We're going in and pray. And right after prayer this morning, we're going to take a listen today to, again, Dr. Darius Daniels. And the message today is you are going to get it back. In other words, you're going to get back everything that you lost. And some of us lost loved ones, you know. God will replace them. He did it for Job. You may have lost your house, your car, you know, a friendship, your husband, your wife. God is the one who can give it back. He can redo things over. And when he does, it's in a much better way, much better, much better. And so we thank God this morning that many of us are waiting on him to restore things for us, because we can't put it back together, and we cannot go back in our past and fix anything, but he can. Yeah, he can go back in your past and fix things. Yes, he can. And he can bring you to your present from a bad past to a good present. Yeah, and our excellent future. And so we thank him this morning. And so we're going to pray. And right after prayer, we're going right in with Dr. Darius Daniels. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Father, we thank you for watching over us last night as we slumbered and slept. Thank you for another Wednesday morning. We thank you, Lord, that this morning we come together right here on Jesus in the Morning as a group to give you the first fruit of our day. You deserve it. You're more than deserving. We thank you, Father, for this season of holiday. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for your son, Jesus. For, Lord, you sent him that we could have a right to the tree of life. You sent him so you could draw us back to you. You sent him so that we could live good, so that we can have an abundant life. And we thank you for this today. Father, we thank you for the mindset of man that decided that December the 25th, we would set it aside to celebrate the birth of your son. And we thank you for sending the Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you for his suffering, his hanging, his bleeding, his dying, his conquering all and rising with all power. We thank you today. And Father, we're grateful unto you, for he suffered severely, more than we could ever imagine. And Lord, he took on all the sins of the world, every imaginable sin, he took it on so that man could be redeemed. And Father, we thank you today. And God, we're not sad, but Lord, we understand that he suffered. And we want to live right before him, walk upright before you, Father, that his suffering is not in vain. And we just don't care that he suffered so bad. But God, we love you, and we thank you for the suffering this morning. We come today asking that you would fix our hearts and regulate our minds, that in this season we are not caught up into gifts, what someone has given us and what we are expecting. We are not sad and grieving over loved ones that has gone on to take a rest, and we are not caught up into the day and the stuff and things of the season, but that, God, we're caught up into what you've done for us, and that we will remember the greatest Christmas story. Our Savior was born unto us. We thank you this morning. Can't say thank you enough. And Father, we come this morning asking that you would bless us, Father, every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast today, Father, wherever they come through, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless these your people and that you would lift them up in this celebrating season. And Father, bless their family, bless their friends near and far. And you know what they stand in the need of today, and Father, you know about their heart's desires. I ask that you would move upon it today in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would help us to delight ourselves in you. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to seek you with our whole heart. Help us to talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. Help us today to gird up the loins of our minds and trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. But, Father, in all our ways, help us to pray to you that you would direct our path. Help us today to not be wise in our own eyes, but to fear you and depart from evil. Help us today, Father. We need you. We can't do it without you, for without you we can do nothing. And, again, we love you today. We love coming to talk to you. We love how you share with us. Father, we love how you open doors and make ways for us. We're grateful unto you this morning. We appreciate you. We thank you today. We thank you. Can't thank you enough. Father, we ask that if any here today that are sick, that God, you would heal us. Heal us all from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Lord, whatever the illness may be, you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Even if it's a disease, you're able to heal. And God, we believe that you're willing to do it for us today. Heal, Father. You took a beating for it. And Lord, it's already done. We believe you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Ask today that you bless those that are incarcerated and those that are in every branch of the military, Father, with children today. We ask, Lord, that you would stir up our gifts, that we could go out and work unto you while it's day. The Lord, you could draw someone unto you. You can change a life. Father, we ask that you would do it through us today in the name of Jesus. Bless widowers and bereaved families, Father, intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere preaching in the name of Jesus. And obedience unto you and love for your people. Bless Israel. Prosper Jerusalem. Continue to bless America and the leadership of America. And Father, we thank you this morning. Have your way here today on Jesus in the morning. Bless your people. Word. Lord, we ask this today that you would move in a mighty way. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you today. I see 1 minute and 23 seconds. Are y'all trying to tell me I didn't put the whole show in? We may go out. But if we go out, I'm going to keep going today as long as it will allow me to go. I'm going, yes. All right, so we're going right in with him this morning.
14, verse number 1, that all of the members of the community raised their, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, if we had only died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. I want to talk from this subject for a few minutes on today, and that is a mindset reset. There are times when we have to reset our mindset. Say yes if you're ready for the word. Family, recently I was reflecting on an experience that I had as a teenager. I was in high school having a conversation with a few members of my family, and I was articulating some of the schools I was contemplating attending after my graduation. And one of the schools that I mentioned that I was taking into consideration was a school called Morehouse College in Atlanta. And as I articulated that this was one of the schools I was considering, an adult member in my family immediately vocalized their opinion and communicated to me that you can't do that. And began to list all of the reasons, many of them valid, as to why it would be unlikely that I would attend that school. My father, who was not involved in the conversation but close enough to overhear what was being communicated, immediately interjected and very publicly and sternly said to that individual, "Don't tell him that." To which they wondered and asked, "Don't tell him what?" And he replied, "Don't ever tell him what he can't do." He immediately looked at me and said, in the presence of those who were around the room, "If you put your mind to it, you can go wherever you choose to go. And if you will allow me the opportunity to exegete that experience, I feel like it has value for those of us who are seated in this space on today, because I realized something, family. That my father, in that moment, gave me more than his facial features. He gave me, watch this, faith for my future. I realized that as a father, he gave me more than money. I realized that as a father, he gave me a mentality, a mindset, an attitude of achievement, a paradigm of possibility, a mindset that was not set on limitation, but possibility. One that believed I could do anything I set my mind to. From Kill Michael, Mississippi, do it anyway. Population 830 people, do it anyway. High school graduating class, 33 people, do it anyway. No stoplights, one full-time police officer, one part-time police officer who kept a police car in his front yard. Do it anyway. And ladies and gentlemen, as we ponder the pertinence of this principle for this sermon today and this series called Bloodlines, I realize something. We inherit more than traits, trends, and tendencies in our bloodline. We also inherit mindsets and mentalities. You could be amazed at what mentalities are passed from generation to generation. Some victim mentalities are inherited. Some limited mentalities are inherited. Watch this. Some racist and biased mentalities are inherited. Listen to this. Some sexist mentalities are inherited. We inherit more than traits, trends, and tendencies. We can inherit mindsets. And there are sometimes our mind is set in places and spaces that serve us well. And there are other times where our minds may have been molded in ways that they are set in spaces and places that don't serve us well. And this is why evaluation is essential and important, because wherever your mind is set, your life will follow. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." God moves us from level to level, faith to faith, head first. And no matter where you may be stuck, I came to tell you today, if you get your head out, your life has got to follow. Am I making sense, family? I said, am I making sense? And I think our passage, our foundational text on today in Numbers 14, is an incredible example of the importance of examining how our mind is set. We picked up in Numbers chapter number 14, but these people's story really begins in the book of Exodus, the book of Exodus, introduces us to a group of people that the Bible calls Hebrews, who were in Egyptian captivity for over 400 years, and there was one generation that got sick and tired of the cycle. There was one generation that began to engage in activity that would free them from the limitations of Egyptian bondage. And the Bible says they cried out to God to send deliverance. And God then begins to have a different kind of conversation with a man named Moses. And instead of sending deliverance, God sends a deliverer, because God doesn't always answer your prayers the way you think he'll answer them. There are times when God can answer our prayers in ways that are so different and distinct than what we expect that the answer is right in front of us and we don't even know he's answered it. Right? They're asking for deliverance, and God sends a man named Moses. This is interesting, because when God instructs Moses that he wants to use him to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage, the Bible says that Moses begins to communicate to God his insecurities and his inabilities. He says, number one, I'm a background person. That's my ministry. I stay in the background. This requires that I go to the forefront. Secondly, this requires that I do some speaking, and I am slow of speech. There are some commentators that have varying viewpoints on what this white might mean. Did he stutter? Did he have a lisp? Did he have the inability to accurately articulate his words? We don't know, but this is what we do know. We do know that God didn't even deny Moses' limitation. He just sent him some assistance. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I know you slow speech. I'm not going to change that, because that inadequacy shouldn't lead to insecurity. It should lead to dependence on me. He says, you see that issue as an inadequacy. I see it as insurance, because I know you're never going to try to step out and do this without me, because you recognize that without my assistance, you can't accomplish this assignment. And I want to tell you, there are some weaknesses God is not going to remove. There are some thorns in the flesh he's going to allow to remain. He says, because the thing that you feel like makes you weak is the thing that I know is going to make you run to me so you can stay strong. Could it be that your weakness is God's way of keeping you strong? He says your brother Aaron is going to assist you. He's going to help you. Now, this is what's interesting. If Moses had trouble articulating his thoughts to Pharaoh, then certainly he was also going to have trouble articulating his thoughts to Aaron. So even though Aaron was a better speaker than Moses, how could Aaron speak for Moses if he couldn't figure out what Moses was saying? But could it be God sent Aaron not just because Aaron had the ability to speak? Could it be that God sent Aaron because Aaron had the ability to interpret? Could it be that he could do more than speak for Moses? He could understand him. Because you can't speak for someone you don't understand. See, when God sends certain people into your life, they get you without you having to say it. But you need some people in your life that just get you. Because sometimes you're feeling things and your mind cannot even conjure the adequate and the appropriate words to articulate what you're feeling. You need some people in your life who can give you words to help you articulate what you're feeling, because they get you even when you cannot articulate what's going on with you. They send Moses, and God gives Moses clear instruction. He says, now, I'm going to use you to lead Israel out of this Exodus, and I'm leading them to a specific place called Canaan. It's a land I promised to them. It's a land that is agriculturally rich. It flows with milk and honey. I'm leading you to lead them there. So Israel makes their Exodus out of Egypt. Moses successfully negotiates with Pharaoh, and the Bible says that in Exodus 13 that God did not lead them through the land of the Philistines, which was shorter. It says he took them around through the wilderness. So here it is. They could have went right to Canaan a shorter way. But that way would have required them to pass through a land that was occupied with people called Philistines who had giants in their bloodline. Goliath that David fought was a Philistine. And God, in essence, says, I know you want to go shorter, but the reason that I'm taking you the longer way is to protect you from some battles and bloodshed that you're not ready for the shorter way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, he says there are some things you would experience if you went the way you want to go that you aren't ready for, and it will cost some loss, some bloodshed, and some death. So in order to protect you from the consequences of the short route, I'm going to take you the long way. And he takes them through a place called the wilderness. The wilderness was just the route to get to Canaan. And when it's time to occupy Canaan, there's another group of people that are occupying Canaan land that they have to fight. And those people were also giants. So Moses sends out spies to scout out that land. And in Numbers 13:26, it says they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw the descendants of Anak there, and the descendants of Anak were giants. Here it is. They expected advancement without opposition. They didn't realize that promotion has a price. That to whomsoever much is given, much is required. They've forgotten that more of anything means more of everything. They've forgotten that you don't get more of what you do want without getting more of what you don't want. They forgot that you don't get promotion without pressure. That you don't get notoriety without haters. That you don't get more of anything without more of everything. Are you hearing me? Advancement comes with agitation. And here it is. They become so frustrated by the fact that they actually have to fight for what God promises is theirs. They become so agitated, so intimidated, they begin to grumble against a man who was the best thing that happened to them. They began to complain about in one season what they had prayed for in another. Are you following me, family? Yeah, so this is interesting. This is interesting. And so they begin to say, well, instead of going, here it is, to Canaan, we good right here. We'll stay right here in the wilderness. It's interesting. Because it reveals to me that even though they had come out of Egypt, their mind hadn't. Their bodies were out, but their mind was still there. How do you know where their mind was set? Because their mindset is revealed by what they run back to when they get in trouble. So their bodies were out of Egypt, but their mind was not. Here it is. They had a mindset of settling. What did they do? They placed a comma. They placed a period where God wanted to put a comma. They dictated what was best for them instead of allowing God to dictate what was best for them. Here it is. Has your body moved and your mind not? A mindset of settling. Pastor, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, number one, it's possible to settle spiritually. Somebody say spiritually.
Spiritually.
Come on, say it again. Say spiritually.
Spiritually.
What do I mean by settling spiritually? This means that a person settles for salvation and not transformation. It means a person is okay being a praiser but not having peace. It means a person is okay being a follower of Jesus but not having the joy Jesus promises. Am I making sense, family? It's settling, and this is what's interesting. This is what's interesting. Okay, when it comes to a mindset spiritually, that's not just something you get from natural family. That's something you get from spiritual family. Here it is. So if I have sat under settling theology, then I'm going to have a settling mindset. If I only hear about the God that brings me out, I'll never meet the God that can take me in. If I only hear about the God that helps me survive, I won't meet the God that can help me thrive. Yeah. If I only hear about the God that saves me, I won't meet the one that changes me. You see, the gospel is not just what Jesus did. The gospel is also the implications of what that means for my life. You see, he's not just the God of John 3:16. He's also the God of Ephesians 3:20. The God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I ask or think. He's not just the God of John 3:16. He's the God that told me no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment, he shall condemn. Are you hearing me? So it's possible to settle spiritually and be okay dying and going to heaven, but experiencing hell on earth all the way there. Secondly, we can settle relationally. We can settle relationally. Here it is. When we don't have a revelation, don't miss this, that friends are God's gift to us to advance his assignment for us. And that if you are patient and prudent, God will send friends that add value to your life without injecting and infecting you with toxicity. Did you hear what I said? When you don't understand that, you will be injected and infected with toxicity from people you're tolerating because you'd rather have unhealthy company then deal with, watch this, the unfamiliarity of loneliness. Y'all missed it. You see, one of the reasons Israel was responding the way they were responding in the text is because they were not accustomed to this new way of living. They were accustomed to Egypt. They were accustomed to the way things had always been. And in order for them to experience something new, in order for them to experience God's best, in order for them to step into the next chapter of God's story for their life, they had to step out of the familiar into the unfamiliar. And when you move into the unfamiliar, you've got to deal with being uncomfortable. And some people are not willing to be uncomfortable long enough to let God snatch the wrong people out of their life before he injects the right people into their life. Sometimes you got to take a season to detox. And people settle relationally. Settle. Settle for bad friends. Right? Yep. Settle relationally. Here it is. Settle relationally when they don't have a revelation. that God will not only send the friends you need when you need them. Right here it is. I'm not going to bother this, but God does not compete for space. Right? He doesn't compete. So he's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. The throne of your heart is a throne, not a couch. Your heart is a throne, not a couch. Your heart is a throne, not a couch. Multiple people can sit on a couch. One person can sit on a throne. God is saying, if you got a couch on your heart, I'm not going to sit next to anybody, because that is the place and space in your life that is reserved exclusively for me. Here it is. I won't feel it until you empty it. Right? And sometimes God has not sent certain people into our life because we hadn't made room. People settle because they don't trust God to send them healthy friends. Number two, they don't trust God to send them healthy mates. You see how the air just went out of the room? That's how I know I'm right where I need to be. Yep, that's how I know I'm right where I need to be. We don't trust God to send healthy mates. And I'm not going to bother that, because mate selection is always an indication of the way you see you. And the only way you fix that is to address people's self-perception. Because you can be on the outside and tell a person, this is not healthy for you, this is not good for you, this is not taking you in the direction that you need to go in. But until that person's view of themselves aligns with a revelation of their worth in the eyes of God, they will be unable to act with wisdom and prudence, because you will always choose mates based on the way you see you. So if you think you can't get anybody better, you will stay right there. But I believe, y'all better come. If you will become Ruth, God will send Boaz. This is settling for less than God's best. But if you watch this, but there's another layer to this, right, which doesn't just apply to settling when it comes to the meeting of someone, but settling in terms of the quality of relationship that you currently possess. For example, if a person has only seen dysfunction in relationship, then their view of a good relationship is simply a relationship that is not hostile, combative, and dysfunctional. So it could be mediocre. And they can be cool with people, they can be cool with just tolerating one another, because they're comparing their relationship to the chronic dysfunction they've been exposed to. Right? But there in the Song of Solomon, there's this picture of possibility for relationships. Right? Where it isn't just this ecstasy initially, and then after that there's this downward spiral where we get to the point where we're just tolerating one another. I don't have time to deal with this, but boy, if I did. That is the narrative that's being painted by culture. This is why men are running from marriage. See, that's next month. I'm not going to. Because if you don't know that, you will take it personally, sister. If it feels like he's delaying and dragging his feet in making the decision, when sometimes it is not you, it is the picture of marriage that has been painted before him on television among peers, and they see people who are married and they not happy. Who wants to sign up for that? Y'all not ready? Let me. Who wants to say, I can't wait until we get together and you ignore me and I ignore you and you talk down to me and I talk down to you, and we don't want to hold each other's hand. We don't want to jump in the bed together. We just, that's too much. Let me go over there. I can't. Who wants to sign up for that? But God, God has painted another picture of possibility. Not just in the initial stages, there's ecstasy and then it decreases. But in the Song of Solomon, you see this growing interest that does not wane. It intensifies. It is a picture of Christ's relationship with the church. But the book itself allows us to enter into the intimate relationship between a man and a woman. These are real people. It's not just a metaphor. These are real people. This is a man looking at his woman and saying, girl, watch this. Fellas, don't you leave me out here by myself. But then it's a woman looking at her man say, wear it again. See what happens. Okay. Y'all don't want real preaching this one. Yeah, she said, wear it again. Fellas, y'all left me out here by myself. If I'm telling the truth, man, I need to hear you make some noise in the building. You see this? But we can settle. We can settle. Watch this. We can settle. Remember, the Israelites didn't want to fight the giants in the land. We can settle. Because in order to get that, there's some giants you got to kill. See, you don't get that without killing giants. Giant obstacles. Giant mindsets. Giant influences. Last but not least, here it is. We can also settle professionally. Settle professionally. Can feel like the window of opportunity for me to use my gifts, talents, and acquired skills in a way that adds the most value to the world and brings the most fulfillment to me. We can feel like that window of opportunity has passed us. We've made too many mistakes, made too many missteps, made too many bad decisions, and so now my life is irredeemable. So the only thing I can do is simply salvage the rest of my life, because what I really desire for myself professionally is unattainable because I haven't done it yet. And you can end up spending the rest of your life doing something you hate because you feel like it's too late. You can feel like you didn't get the degree when you should have got it, or the certification when you should have got it, or advance yourself when you should have gotten it, and you feel like it's going to take me 4 years to do that now, or 18 months to do that now, not realizing that if you don't die and go to heaven, 18 months is going to come anyway. Like, I can't do that. It's going to take me 4 years. But if you don't die, it's going to take you're going to be four years anyway. So you can spend these 4 years doing something so that when these 4 years are over, you have it. Or you could spend these 4 years doing nothing, wishing you could reclaim your time. Am I making sense, y'all? You see, this is important. There are times where these limitations so impact us, we don't even know we're being limited by something that's imposed on us. It's like, you know, well, people my age don't get those kinds of opportunities. Or you know, people my gender don't get those kinds of opportunities. Or people who lack the kind of educational credentialing that I lack don't get seats at those tables. You can be 100% right. That's just a giant. See, this is the thing. You don't want them to hire everybody your age. That's not what you're asking them. I'm just asking you to hire me. Let me go over here because they yeah. You're not asking them to hire or to give the opportunity to everyone who doesn't have certain credentialing. You're just saying, give it to me. So the question isn't, should it be done for everybody? The question is, can God do it for you? Can God make you the exception? There's a word that the Bible uses to describe those that become the exceptions. The Bible calls it favor. The favor of God. When God reverses a trend, when God breaks a rule, when God performs an anomaly, when God gives you an opportunity that is not normally afforded to people like you, do you believe God can do that? Because if not, oh, I'm out of time. You're settling. And I'm telling you right now, settling is a mindset. It's a mindset that is unwilling to fight the giants that must be fought in order to get to where you're trying to go. And settling is an insult to the one that created you. Settling is bad stewardship of a life. Settling is mismanagement of your intellect, your acumen, and your gifting. Because God is saying, if you were going to sit on all that, I could have gave it to somebody else. He said, I could have gave that to somebody else if you were not going to do anything with it. Settling is you dictating your own destiny. It's God saying, I created you to be here. And you say, but nah, I'm good. I'm here. The Bible has a word for settling, and when I found it, it rocked me to the core. It's a word that's found frequently in the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom literature. That's where I actually tell most people to kind of start with the Bible. I tell them, you go to the Gospels first, or you go to the wisdom literature, because you're going to be able to see its application to your life immediately. So there's a word. Here it is. It's called slothful. I thought slothful meant lazy. Right? But there's a nuance in the way the Hebrews understood slothfulness. And the nuance is this. It is a desire for ease at the expense of the will of God. So here it is. The lazy don't want to work. Slothful don't mind working. They just don't want it to be hard. They want ease. So if it gets hard, they don't fight. If there's opposition, they back down. Because they don't mind it being hard. They don't mind working, they just don't want it to be hard. And even if God is calling them to slay some giants, they'll stay in the wilderness because they're not willing to fight the fight, Canaan. And whenever anyone lives that way, it's because they have misunderstood the purpose of their advancement. Your advancement is not for your satisfaction. God is not simply trying to advance your life just because he's trying to advance your life. He's trying to advance your life not just for your satisfaction, but because of your assignment. He wants to move you into Canaan because there are people that you will impact in Canaan that you cannot impact if you don't get there. He wants to, ladies and gentlemen, move you into the next chapter of his story for your life because he needs you and wants you to be an example to show that a woman can do it. An example to show that a man can do it. An example to show that you can move up the ranks. An example to show that you can recover. That it doesn't matter how many mistakes you made, how many times you've made them, that God is the God that redeems your life from destruction. And some people will not have a picture of possibility if you don't do it. What if I told you that that may be one of the ways he wants, one of the reasons he wants to move your relationship from good to great? Because maybe he wants your children to have a mindset of marriage that is beyond mediocrity. Maybe he wants them to know bliss is possible so that the next generation is not running from the altar, but they're running to the altar saying, I'm getting ready to step into the best season of my entire life. Recently, I was having some conversations with my teenage son and just talking to him about some realities of life. And those are some of the hardest conversations you have with your children, because when they're young, there are things you can shelter them from that they cannot be sheltered from when they get old. And you feel powerless as a parent because you're getting ready to throw them out there into a world that don't love them like you love them. And when they start getting a glimpse of that, especially when they've been in a bubble, right? When they've been in a bubble, they get a glimpse of that. It could just be mind-blowing for them. And so he was explaining to me some of the stuff and this, that, and the other. I was like, yep, yep, yep. And when he was done, I looked at him and I said, win anyway. I don't know where you came from, but win anyway. And I don't know what they did to you, but win anyway. And I don't know what they said to you couldn't be done, but win anyway. And I don't know if you have people supporting you or not, but I do know you can win anyway. And I don't know who left you or why they left you, but I do know if God be for you, he is more than the world against you. And you may get a late start, but win anyway. Do you believe you can win anyway? You can win anyway. And I like to win. I'm competitive. I'm too competitive. My youngest son gets that competitiveness from me. And I used to play video games growing up. I still play. I'm talking about when I was growing up, I still play. Amen. I got a Nintendo Switch in my backpack right now. I've been playing video games. I know this is my young crowd here. This is my millennials. But some of y'all in here are going to feel me. I've been playing video games since Atari. I've been playing video games since the first Nintendo with Super Mario Brothers. I've been playing since Sega Genesis with Sonic the Hedgehog. All my young people like, just YouTube it. And I remember a few times I'll be playing one of my cousins in this game, Bulls versus Blazers on Sega Genesis. And I hated to lose. There'd be times where I was getting blown out. And I'd say, I'm getting ready to lose this game. It could be third quarter, second quarter. I look, and I could see when they were looking and paying attention. I run to that console. Give my other graphic here. I would run. I could see that they weren't looking. I would run to that console, and there's giving my other graphic in the back. In the back. Can somebody give me my other graphic? I want to press the button in the back. Can somebody give me my? This is like a big part of my thing. Okay, there it is. I'll be playing that console. I'll be losing. And sometimes people are so in the game, they're not paying attention because I had a reputation for doing this. Because I was competitive. They wouldn't pay attention. I run to that console, press that reset button, and start the game all over again. Some of you may have some areas in your life where you're not winning. And the devil think he has the upper hand on you. But you came to church today because God wants you to know whenever you get ready, you can run to the one who's able to give you a new beginning and press the reset button and start all over again. Your reset begins today. If you receive it, shout in this house.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, that's a word this morning. Oh, that's a word this morning because many, you know, we think we can't do something because we passed our time. We didn't do this. We didn't get that. But God is faithful, and he's able today to deliver anything that we want him to deliver. You want a better job? God can do it. You want money, God can give it. Whatever. We just got to go to him. And one thing about him, he's always wanting us to give him something to work with. If it's nothing but prayer, if it's one scripture you read every day, whatever you give to him, he can multiply it many, 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 many times over back to you. Because when we praise him, when we pray, when we study, even when we read his word, when we tell somebody about the goodness of it, testimony, you know, God can use that and multiply back to you. I've been under trial before, and I was going through, but because I praised him while I was down and feeling out. I praised him. I praised my way right through the trial. Things changed. By the time I got home, I was at church one time, and by the time I got home, the situation had completely changed for the good, for my sake. So, look, we think that it's past, you know, and we won't be able to get it back. But you're going to get it all back. Whatever you thought you didn't get that you wanted. Look, I was in my 50s, I think, when I got an associate's degree. It was something I always wanted. Now, in my book, it wasn't worth it, but it was what I wanted. It was a desire of mine, and God gave it. I wanted a small SUV. It was my desire. God gave it. So whatever we really want and we're asking him for it, he is able today to deliver to you. And there's no such thing with him as the last minute, the last hour. It looked like the countdown is on, and you may be saying to yourself, but Christmas in a few days, and I don't know where I'm going to get money from, or I don't know where to get this from. Guess what? God is able to deliver in what we believe to be the last hour, the last minute. I've seen God move for me when I needed something at 12 o'clock. I saw God move at 11:58. That was 2 minutes before 12, but nonetheless, I got it done before 12. So he's that kind of God to us, if we can believe and trust him and let go so that he can take care of it for us. Oh, yeah. He's that kind of God. I'm so sorry today I had to go back in and change some things, and I didn't change the time. It went off early in the chat room, and I'm not sure through the archives how much of this they would get. But I thank God that the callers got to get it all. Hallelujah. Got to hear the whole message today. And so we just thank God. The studio is open. If there's anyone want to share a testimony, or you have a prayer request or something you just want to share, you know, feel free to press that number one and come in today, yeah, and let God use you this morning, hallelujah. And so we thank him. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. So glad you made it safe and happy that your sister was really surprised. I thank God for that. All right, Sister Jacqueline. Good morning, Sister Jacqueline. God bless you. How are you?
Amen, Mom. This is Bernello. I'm on Jacqueline's phone.
Okay.
They wouldn't let me in through this morning. They kept telling me that my show starts in 23 hours. But nevertheless, I didn't give up. I called Jacqueline and told Jacqueline, click me in.
Okay.
But that praise and I magnify God this morning. I thank God for his goodness and his kindness and his tender mercies. I thank him for just being God in my life. You know, and I'm constantly giving the glory, constantly giving him praise. Amen, because God is so good to me. You know, I thank God on Sunday I made another birthday. Amen, and I didn't think that I would be here. Amen. At one point in my life, I didn't know that I would even be here. Amen. But I thank God that God has brought me through. Amen. He's yet bringing me through. I thank God, amen, for keeping me. Amen. For keeping my mind. And I'm just grateful to God. And I want to ask prayer for my sister. Amen, that had the 5 strokes. I'm asking for prayer that God will heal her. You know, that God will heal her. She was back. They had to rush her back to the hospital yesterday. Amen, but God is still good. God is still good, amen. You know, she keeps telling us that she's fixing to leave here. Amen. But nevertheless, amen, I know that it's in God's hands. And I know, amen, that God got the last say so. So I'm just asking that you all will pray for her. Amen. She's living in an environment, amen, that I'm not satisfied with. So I'm asking God what to do, amen, about this situation. Because she has a husband and she has children, so I can't go in there and take her up out of there. But nevertheless, I'm asking God to help me and to show me what I should do about my sister, because she can't do for herself now. And, you know, things are just not right. They're not right. So I'm asking God to help me, show me what to do. But also, Bishop David Stokes, he has a daughter that's autistic. And when the baby was born, she's about 26 and 28 years old now. But when she was born, then the mother left because she couldn't take, you know, having a baby, taking care of a child like that. But he took that baby, and he has raised that child. And the baby's in the hospital. She has something going on with her brain. And they ended up at the hospital because he took her out of the hospital she was in. And because they did brain surgery on that baby and they didn't tell him. They were supposed to go in and do something, but what they did, they wasn't supposed to do. And they didn't tell him. And then they gave her something, and the baby ended up paralyzed on her left side. And then she was on life support, and she was in a coma. And on Sunday, God brought her out of the coma, but they had unrestrained her. And when they unrestrained her, when she came up out the coma, she came out fighting, and she pulled that life support thing and broke off something in her throat. So I'm asking that you all pray for this baby. I call her a baby because, you know, she looks like a baby, and she's his baby. But I'm asking that you all pray for this child. God is doing it. God is blessing. But he had to take her out of that hospital and take her to another hospital. But I'm asking that you all would pray for him, that God would give him strength, because this man gave up his life to take care of his child. And, you know, he loved his daughter. That you all would pray for him, that God would give him strength in this hour, and that God would heal his baby and raise her up.
Okay, we got you. We got you. And I will also ask the intercessors in another area to touch and agree with me with this. And because we know that God is able. He is able, and I believe he's going to see her through. That's just what I believe. And see the dad through, and your sister, and your sister. Because I know there's nothing too hard for him to do. So we're just going to pray and trust God today. Hallelujah. Intercessors, if y'all are touching and agree with me, I greatly appreciate it this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, come before you this day. And Father, we know that you know all. You know what's best. You know what they really stand in need of. We bring Brunella's sister. We bring this man and his daughter, and God, we ask that you would move in a mighty way. Lord, let it be a miracle that you work and that people will see and glorify you. Father, whatever they stand in the need of today, I ask that you would move quickly, and God, remember their heart's desires. And Lord, whatever it may be, if it lines up with your will, if it lines up with your word, God, we ask that you would perform it today. In the name of Jesus, we know that there's nothing too hard for you. We know you healed the blind man. Father, you made the lame to walk. You've even raised the dead. And God, we know that you have all power. And we ask this morning in the name of Jesus that you would do it for them today. And Father, we pray for Bernella this morning and ask God that you would continue to strengthen her and help her. We ask that you would send your ministering angels to stand by and minister to her. God, minister to her mind, to her heart, to every need.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus. And we thank you this day. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, you didn't say we had big. You said ask, and we are asking you. We're seeking you. We're knocking on your door today. Oh, God, that you would minister
yes,
them in a mighty way. We ask it all this morning in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank
you
today. Thank you, God.
Jesus.
There's none like you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, because he's able. He's able. So if there's anybody else, the studio is still open. Please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning. And I want to say good morning to Sister Yolanda. Y'all tell her I tell her good morning every morning, Bernella. And good morning to Sister Mary. And to Sister Diane, Sister Melanie Rose. Good morning to you, my God, baby, Sister Laura. And Sister Alexis and Lachelle. And good morning to you, Sister Jacqueline and Brother Jermaine. And Sister Andrea, good morning. Good morning, Keisha. God bless you. And good morning to you, Brother Anthony and Brother Glenn. Brother D. Mike and Brother Mike Pope and Pastor Herring. Good morning to you. God bless you all. Sister Rita, good morning to you. And good morning to you, Sion. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Minister Shonda. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you. And I thank God for each of you tuning in today. And we just thank God. And like I said earlier, we're 7 days, you know, headed into Christmas. I can barely wait. And I plan to go over this weekend. It's cold here, to get cold tonight in the 40s. Well, about 40. And on Saturday, it's supposed to be cold and raining. But I wanted to deliver the meals to the kids in the project. And so I can't help how cold it be. And guess what? I got the perfect meal. So it'll keep them warm. You know, they can eat it going down the sidewalk, going on back home. So I plan to start preparing on Friday, to this Friday. So Saturday morning I can get up, you know, maybe around 11, because they're out of school. So I could go around 11 and start, you know, passing out the meals to them. So 12 o'clock they had their lunch. And so I just thank God. I thank God for the ideas. I thank him for all he's doing. And I haven't been to the mailbox, y'all, to the post office to really do anything big, because that tooth, it's getting better. But I kind of been, you know, still at the house laying around and that kind of thing, and haven't been to Jacksonville since last week because of that tooth. But it's much better. And the stitches, you know, they dissolved up, and I can open my mouth wider now, so I'm better. And so as soon as I possibly can, I get to the post office and mail some stuff out. And some of y'all might get cards and things after the holiday, but it's because I waited so late, you know, to ship and the mail. And I went the other day to the post office. I did go, but the line was so long and my mouth was sore. I said, oh, no, I can't stand in here for this. I'm going to have to come back another time. So I know God is able, and he know I want to bless some people, and so that's what I plan to do. And I didn't forget the cups, because we were supposed to, I was supposed to mail out cups, beautiful cups. And so I didn't forget it. It's just, you know, it takes me a little time. It's only me, so I have to do what I can do. So we tell God, thank you, and keep it moving. So is there anyone else? Anyone else this morning? All right. Because we got some time now. We have plenty of time. All right. I will pray us out.
Oh, Mom.
Yes, ma'am.
Also, I want you to pray that these people find my package. I had a package sent to me. It was delivered to my post office box on Monday at 1:08. And it's been 2 days, and they're telling me that they don't have my package. They put a yellow slip in my post office box. And when I took the slip up there, they're telling me that they don't have my package.
Okay, and so let me ask you this. Okay, have you contacted the people who ship you the package?
Yes, ma'am, and they talked to them. And she told them yesterday they better find the package because she got insurance on it because she had money in there. And she had a gift, and she sent some brownies and cookies to me. She do this every year.
Okay.
And so she told them they better find it. She said, because I do have insurance on it.
Okay. Pray they find it, because I know you want the package, and especially what she put in the package.
Yes,
ma'am. Yeah. So we'll be impressed with that. Yes. All right. Is there anyone else? All right. Let's pray out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. And as we leave today, Father, I ask that you would bless your people with their heart's desires. Some want to own businesses. Father, some want a house. Some want a better job, a better car, a better way of life, this abundant life right here on the earth. Many want it, oh God. And Father, we know you're able, and we believe you're willing today to do it for your people. So we're coming to you asking that you would do it for these your people. Bless in a mighty way. Open doors. And Lord, I ask that you would give them money to do whatever it is they desire to do in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we ask it all again in the name of Jesus. As we depart this morning, bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in and meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, December the 18th, 2019, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day.